Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Play ESPN. G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. Brilliant. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. What's going on, guys? Good morning.
What's going on?
Yeah, what's good? It's good. Let me see what's good.
He has his mani pedi today at 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got, because my nails.
Because your nails are looking dirty.
We had a nice dinner last night.
My nails are long. You get dirt trapped underneath.
They shouldn't be long.
We had a nice dinner last night with Yates, Key, and me, and we were saying, where's Jay? He's supposed to be here.
I was at home putting my kids down.
Waited and waited. Jay was
my little babies.
You're not the only one. We all have kids.
Why'd you do that voice?
Because we all have kids. I'm tired of you saying that.
You know,
that's why.
What are you talking about?
You know
what? Don't you get me started,
funny, Jay?
Joseph.
At 9 o'clock, he looks. He's up at 9 o'clock, past Max's bed. As soon as he said, "I said, wait, it's 9 o'clock."
You start yawning at 9 o'clock.
Nine o'clock to me is like 2 in the morning to most people.
I was trying to get him right, though.
Yeah, he's right. By the way, I zip right home.
Did you have a cocktail last night?
Yeah, a couple.
Ooh, what did you have? What's your drink of choice? I know what Keys is.
I wanted something. I just wanted some light beer, man. It's hard to find in places nowadays. I had a Moscow Mule.
Yeah.
And then I had a glass of wine with dinner.
Light beer. I'm trying. It's hard to find light beer these days.
You know what I want? I just want a regular light beer. I don't need a fancy wheat such and such beer. Just a regular light beer.
Yeah, he had a cocktail or two, and me and Yates had some Chardonnay.
Oh, yeah, Chardonnay?
Yeah, some Chard.
Oh, yeah.
Now Jay's upset he wasn't there.
Yeah,
before.
I had fish, so I wanted to pair my meal. I wanted to pair the wine with the Rosino.
When it was just the company and the food, Jay is not interested. Oh, y'all had some cocktails?
Oh, no, when it's a company, I'm very interested because that means I'm not paying.
No, I meant the company that you keep.
Oh.
See? As soon as it went from companies paying to us, the smile evaporated.
Was the duck good?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
As soon as I heard you were going, I was like, I'm out.
That's exactly what happened.
Key and Yates, I'm down. Max.
Yates, by the way, orders a burger like a normal person. Key and I got very bourgeois.
You don't go to an Italian restaurant to order a burger, but I didn't want to get
a burger.
On
yeah.
Okay.
I order the duck. Key orders the Branzino.
Yes, I ordered the Branzino.
Yates is like a Branzino and duck.
I was like,
what world
you could have went to McDonald's if you wanted a damn burger.
Max says he wants red meat.
Yeah. I want red meat, but it's not red meat. If you have duck, you have a little red meat, but you're not eating red meat. You know what I mean?
How is duck red meat?
Well, because it comes out red in the middle.
I don't eat duck, It's hard for me. I'm sorry. That's one.
I'll do it.
I can't do it. I can't do the duck. I can do a lot of stuff. The ducks and the goats, I can't do that.
Well, no, I could eat goat, too. That's not true. I've done that.
I can't. I got to stick with the chicken and maybe.
Do you eat liver ever?
No.
Because I'll eat that, too. No.
So, wait, I have a question for you. Yates, why'd you just order the burger? Why just the burger?
Well, I'm a picky eater, first of all, right? Yeah. And I got kind of flustered because Key ordered, like, oysters and all types of stuff. Very expensive things that I've never seen. And then he has a butter knife, right? So he's cutting the fish, and the fish is coming out. He's doing all this with a butter knife. And I've never said, this is the richest thing I've ever seen. And then I look to my left, and Max is quiet. You know, Max don't get quiet often. So he quiet. I look over. He's chewing on the duck.
On the duck.
And he looks at me, his calmest face ever. Red meat. But it's not red meat. I said, okay.
That's right.
This is a very expensive place. I don't know. Give me a burger, sir.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
So default kicked in.
Yes. Wagyu beef sounds expensive.
Great. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yates is like the most richest food I get is when I get stuff on the pizza.
So
put pepperonis
man.
And peppers on that.
White piece of meat, please. Thank you. Clam? No.
I deboned the fish. With a butter knife, Jay.
But Jay, this is where you know Key's
different.
Jay, it came out just like a Tom and Jerry cartoon, man.
Oh, wait, this is what happens. Typically, when you go to a nice establishment,
so
you want me to debone? Yeah, I'd love for you. They get in there, they do it. Key's asks, I'll debone my own fish.
Yeah, I'll do it myself. I don't need them breathing on my fish.
Yeah, Key's the type. No. You know what? Let me get in the kitchen. I like it a certain way.
You didn't put any paprika on that. You know I asked for the specificity.
Yeah, I'm a very difficult order guy at a restaurant. You get frustrated with me. I get to changing up the menu on you and everything.
I saw you
take
do it.
That out.
You did
put
it when
that
we were
on
the road when we went out. Where was it? We went with Evan
Chicago.
You were like, yeah, look, I'm gonna need you to take this Caesar salad, combine that with the soft greens, right? And the lady's like, oh, she's trying to write down. She's like, oh, okay.
And yeah. As a proprietor of restaurants, you know, Jay owns chains of restaurants and stuff. As a proprietor of restaurants,
I'm a part
Jay,
owner of one restaurant in New York City called The Cabin. Trying to make me out to be
He's
this.
A restaurant mogul. How do you feel about someone coming into your restaurant and changing up the
I'm
menu?
Okay with it.
You are.
I'm okay with it. It depends.
I don't change the menu. I just take stuff off that I don't like or add stuff that I'm looking for.
Because most of the time, the majority of people won't do that, right? The majority of people, I'll just take this.
Yeah.
That's what most people
They're
do.
Not entitled enough. And, yeah.
But him, I'm not entitled enough.
Stop framing people this
way.
What are you doing?
Wait a minute. Entitlement is not always a bad thing. Some people don't feel entitled enough to ask for what they want.
No,
some people do.
I don't want cheese on my pasta. Yeah.
So that's fine.
Orders.
It's good to feel entitled enough to do that. People should feel entitled.
Yates. He orders oysters.
Talking to the mic, Yates.
He orders oysters, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, hot sauce pops out. And he's...
That's what you're
hot sauce on every single
one. He gave
one.
Me some of those oysters.
So didn't even ask anybody else if
good.
They want hot sauce on
and
the
then
oyster.
And then out of nowhere, he goes, yeah, I'm going to be back in a couple days, whatever. I need a vegan menu. I said, what on earth is going on in here?
Yeah, he changed the whole menu of the
just
restaurant.
Just requested a vegan menu?
Well, because if my kids and stuff are coming with me, I got to make sure that they get what they need. They got to have vegan, gluten-free pasta because pasta can't have eggs in it.
But hold on. Don't skip. You can't put hot sauce in all the oysters if you didn't ask
else. No, I asked him. He didn't want any. And Max took about four or five of them.
They were Key's oysters. He just gave me a couple of them. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you made it sound like he didn't.
No, he looked at them and he didn't like them. He
freaked
didn't like
me
what
out.
They looked like.
I seen them on TV.
You never had an oyster?
I'm not with the whole aphrodisiac type of thing. It's cool and
Yates,
all, but
what
like,
is, wow. Yates is talking to a bunch of rich guys,
yeah,
right?
Like,
Yates,
I'm normal.
What is I'm normal.
Normal
man. Yeah, but Key, you've been rich for decades now.
I'm normal.
I'm not saying
oysters,
you're not. You've been exposed to a lot.
He has some type of expensive salad I can't pronounce.
I had a mixed green salad.
It was a mixed green salad. Yates, that was a mixed green salad. That was a regular salad.
What did the mixed green salad cost?
I've never seen mixed green salad like that.
Yates, what's the fanciest before last night?
Crazy, man.
What's the fanciest food you eat?
I went to my rich coach's house and he had filet mignon. And I was like, oh, I made it to the top.
But that is regular still. That's give me the most exotic food you've eaten.
See, I don't really go outside the palate, Max. Mm-hmm. I got to stay with the things that I know because I'm allergic to things like tomatoes. I ate tomatoes one time. I'm itching in the middle of a basketball game. It's bad for me. So I got to keep my palate precise.
Because Key goes into an Italian restaurant. He's like, look, I'm going to come back with my kids next week. Can you make this a Chinese restaurant by next week? My kids want some Chinese. I'd like you to make this a Chinese restaurant.
Like Jay always tells us the story about Carlos Boozer and Prince and all that. And like he changed up the house. Like Key's changing restaurant menus on the
fly. Well, speaking of that, and I know we burned this little 10 minutes up. But so tonight, we're going into Hoboken to 10th Street Pizza.
Ooh, good spot. Good spot.
But here's the change of the menu. So wait, check this out, though.
Don't change the...
No, check this out, though. So I had to call Mario the other day and say, yo, we coming in. He has to get vegan cheese for the family. I'll eat the regular pizza, but they can't eat the cheese. So he's got vegan cheese to put on the pizza. And he won't do it for anybody else because he's a real Italian. He just won't. He's like, no.
That's not cheese.
My wife will be insulted.
You know?
My wife's saying, like, oh, we're insulted.
Just how it is.
Because like they're very proud. Like it's like their food is a certain way. This is the way it is.
I get it, but if you want pizza and you can get and you're on a diet or something, you get gluten free pizza.
I hear
with
how
vegan
you're
cheese.
Looking at it. I'm just telling you the true
they don't
original
like that.
Italian
no,
culture.
No, they don't
man.
Like that.
They don't rock with that.
Italian food's
like
so
at all.
Good. Oh, it's so damn good. I can't take it.
Yeah, you see, I had the rigatoni with the red sauce.
I try and stay
last
away
night?
From pasta.
Yeah, I had a half.
How much food did you have? Damn.
I'm trying to tell you.
I didn't have that much.
You had the rigatoni, you deboned the branzino, you had the mixed green salad,
you
had the oysters.
You had a pretty big dinner, but that was the only meal he had.
Yeah, that was the only meal I had all day.
Why are you trying to?
But the pasta wasn't big.
No, small appetizer portion.
Yeah, half size, rigatoni, red sauce.
No, but you had a pretty big dinner because it was that plus a salad plus the oysters plus the fish.
I shared the oysters with you.
You did.
I didn't share my broccoli with you.
Left that out in your description, Max.
And I had broccoli. I mean, I ate.
You had broccoli too?
Yeah. Of course.
Man, you started lifting weights yesterday. You didn't get back in the gym, dude. Cardio, man. By the way, if you can see the video that Key sent Yates and I yesterday of him working out, you know when you go in the workout, and most of you look in the mirror, right? So Key puts the phone up next to the mirror, and he's doing curls. And you see him doing
that was for y'all.
Was it for us, though? Man, it was more for yourself.
Last few pumps, he's shaking, the arms shaking. You know, he's just staring through your soul through the video.
What are you curling with? What are you curling? How much
are
you curling?
I have 55.
Yeah, 55. So
55 is a lot of weight.
He showed us a 55 in the video now. He said, look, 55. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let you know.
Let you know what time it is.
Yeah.
And already in 3 days, his ass already looked different. How does alien body? How are you going to look different in 3 days?
World-class athletes.
Yeah, you know? Plus you put
said
down
water
the,
weight.
Water weight.
Plus you put down the late night tequila, too.
Yeah.
You put it down.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. The road to the rematch is on as bantamweight champ Juliana Pena and former champ Amanda Nunes go head-to-head as coaches on the historic 30th season of The Ultimate Fighter. Stream the series now exclusively on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com.
If you look at the Cowboy offensive line, I'm not so sure they're as bad as it looks.
Who's America's team? Who's the quarterback of America's team? Those Dallas Cowboys. Who does Stephen A. love to pile up on every Monday morning after they have a letdown? It's the Dallas Cowboys. So Dak Prescott is most clearly the guy with the most pressure on him.
I think the reality for Dak Prescott is we've never seen him really elevate his football team.
See, now I remember when this beat dropped, I was like, this is the best thing I ever heard in my life. I couldn't believe it. Rockbox. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike McCarthy, guys, was talking about Dak Prescott heading into the 2022 season.
Uh-huh.
And Dak Prescott's a guy, Key, you've had him kind of straddling. Is he elite?
All over
is he
the map.
Is he the top of the next tier, or is he the bottom of the first tier? And I think a lot of people have that sense about him. What is he? What is he capable of? How should we think about Dak Prescott? Listen to how Mike McCarthy wants Dak to play this year.
I think like anything, it's just, you know, this is year three in the offense. The opportunity to move more, potentially than he did in the past. The thing that jumps out to me is his movement ability in the scramble drills and scramble situations. The way he activates the scramble drills. He's got more reps at it. It's more natural to him. So it looks really good.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, moving around, the one thing that stood out for me there with Coach McCarthy is talking about the third year in the offense. So at this point, this is your offense. You should know everything that's going on. You should be able to dictate prior to a play coming in what that coach is thinking. You should be on autopilot in your third year in the offense. And so that's what you want to see from Dak Prescott. A lot of people feel a certain way. Like, I've always felt like he's a really good quarterback. He was ready to take the next step. I think last year he took a little bit of a step back.
Why?
It just didn't seem like he was elevating the Dallas Cowboys, like Dan Orlovsky said, to the level that made you feel like, okay, they got a chance to win no matter what because they have this quarterback. You don't feel that you don't feel that way about Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes. You feel like, oh, okay, they're getting ready to, no matter who they up against. And I was looking for him to take that next step, and he didn't do it.
Is he a running, like – So you've mentioned, Jay, and I apologize if I'm taking the words out of your mouth, but you've mentioned that Dak is not a guy who's going to drop back 50 times. You're going to rely on him that way. Now Mike McCarthy's talking about running him. Is that, if he's not a guy who can drop back a million times like a Patrick Mahomes and beat you that way, is he a guy who can run and beat you that way? Like,
well,
what is he?
I think what Coach McCarthy is saying is not necessarily design runs. He's speaking more of off-schedule plays, being able to scramble, doing a scramble drill, move around outside the pocket, doing those sort of things, where last year, because of the leg injury, I don't think that they put him in that position, Jay. Mm-hmm. They kept him away from, putting himself in a position to potentially get hurt again. Now he's somewhat fully healed. Now all bets are off. They got to win. You're the $100-plus million guy. It's your team. Third year in the offense. Do your deal.
Even though it ended poorly, you feel, as an athlete, I feel like last year was almost a pass for him, coming off that injury, getting acclimated, re-aggravating it to a degree, missing a short amount of time. Like, it just felt like he was trying to get his bearings.
Won a bunch of games still.
Right? Yeah. Still won a bunch. I mean, didn't finish the way we would like for him to finish, but there is something called progression as you think about there are layers to it as you get more comfortable. And I think we seem to see the next step in that progression.
Like when you pay a guy the type of money that he was paid, you're not supposed to lose to the Denver Broncos and Teddy Bridgewater at home.
By the way, it's like Draymond
Green. Even though it wasn't his fault, you know?
But it's like when Draymond Green makes $25 million a year, not that you're keeping other people's money. But like when he has a poor performance, you're like, wait, you can't shoot and you get paid? Like that's automatically what we do instead of having patience talking about what like what you are going to add.
It's not as much about the money side of it. It's more about them paying him to take them to the next level. The money side of it is it is what it is.
Well, you got to pay like a top tier quarterback.
But if you're paying a guy type of money, he's got to take you to the next level. That's why you're paying him. You're not paying him to just take the ball and hand it off. You're paying him to take you and kick
that's
you over
that
top.
That's why that stat was staggering when you said that the record was something outrageous when they run for over 100 yards.
It was just, like they're 7-0, 8-0.
That's why Max
like
and I went crazy over that because you're like, well, wait a second. You just paid him to be the guy that you shouldn't. I'm not saying
you don't have to say we have to run to win.
Exactly.
That's just,
balanced attack, though.
I agree with you
They've
on that.
They've got to have a balanced attack for him to be
efficient.
It
didn't feel balanced, though. It felt like it was more one-sided.
Yeah, although, when they ran the ball efficiently and effectively, they won games.
Look,
no
Matt Stafford just won a Super Bowl and is considered a really good quarterback and is also not a guy who's going to drop back 50 times and beat you that way. But that's how most championship teams are. They're balanced, run. Well, what I want to know about Dak Key, from your point of view, to me, it seemed like early in his career, look, he's big, he's strong, he has an arm, he can run, but
early, he's been in the league 20 years.
I mean, like, when we first saw him take over from Romo, right? Yeah. It was like, this dude is more than the sum of his parts. He has some extra it factor. And now I feel like we look at Dak, and it's like maybe he's less than the sum of his parts, because now it's like, oh, wait a minute. He's big and strong and can run and he can throw and he's been in the league a bunch of times. Why hasn't he taken that next step?
Well, one was coaching, right? Coaching with Jason Garrett. Then he had to get over that, got Mike McCarthy. The defense was terrible. He got hurt. The running game was suspect. The offensive line was broken down. Last year was whatever it was. Now this year, if you remember, I said it, this is the year. You get a pass on the leg. You got a pass because you got the contract. You are now in the third year of the deal. Got to get the deal done.
But let me play devil's advocate. Actually, it's not even devil's advocate. I believe this. Let me tell you why I think he has runway. Because if it doesn't work out, everyone's going to point to McCarthy.
Yes.
Now they have a new coach. Let's say it's Peyton or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Now, if they, you know, they don't advance in the playoffs year one, we're going to be like, well, first year, new coach, new system. To me, that's 2 years more of runway.
No. The runway, here's how it's getting ready to break down for you. Last year, whatever. This year, pressure for him and McCarthy to get it done at a high level. If it's not done at a high level, one is out with McCarthy. In comes Sean Payton. Sean Payton, autopilot. What do you want to do? Well, let's see how he plays this year. Then, if he doesn't get it done in year one with the new head coach, now all hell is going to break loose for him in his career as a Dallas Cowboy quarterback. It won't be smooth sailing at all. He got a pass last year. The pressure is on this year. And if they don't do anything and it fails, imagine the heat that's going to be on his rear end in 2023. 2023 we'll be on this show talking about make or break for Dak Prescott.
Yep.
He only has 1 year left of guaranteed money.
It's crazy.
Like that.
That's crazy like that. How fast it goes.
Yeah, that's what happens.
That's just crazy how fast it goes. And Dallas Cowboys fans, this is what makes me nervous.
Now, if he goes and he wins, he'll get a 5-year runway.
This is what makes me nervous because I root against the Cowboys. No one's picking them to win the Super Bowl so far. Every year, everyone, oh, Dallas is going to be the year. And of course, they don't. I'm nervous now because
I don't know if they're good enough.
Yeah, that's what I mean. No one thinks they're good enough. Maybe they're going to fly under the radar.
I don't think they're good enough, though.
NFC is very top-heavy, and the top is different.
When I look at the top teams in the NFC, or even in AFC, I don't think that they are one of the top three teams in the NFC.
Me neither. I don't think anyone does. That's what makes me just nervous about it. As a Giants fan, I know the years that the Giants won the Super Bowl recently, start of the year, no one picked
them. But their defense might be fire. So
right.
But
their defense did regress a little bit last year, too. I mean, all that stuff about Diggs and how special he was, he he did start to get targeted towards the end of the season.
Parsons is going to be in his second year. He's a rookie last year doing that.
Yeah,
dude is a beast. The one thing that can't happen as the NBA Finals continue. That's next on ESPN Radio Series XM Channel 80.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Stephen A. Smith walking in.
Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst, on what he saw from Steph in Game 5. Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst.
Go!
I actually think he started pressing a little bit. He wanted it to happen so badly because he's been so good in this series. I started to see him press and get frustrated to the point that when he finally made a little floater in a lane, you could see his shoulders. He almost waved to the heavens, like, finally. And that's when you knew this was sort of weighing on him, one miss after another. But I actually think his shot selection really set the tone for his night. And I think he'll make an adjustment to that in Game 6.
Stephen A. Smith is here with us, giving you the straight talk.
Max, what's up, bro?
No contract, no compromise. So this is what I've been saying, and everyone's been pushing back.
Right.
Steph Curry's had a fantastic finals so far. This is the one I've been waiting for. What's the problem, Jay?
Why are you going to Steph? We just came off sound about Klay Thompson. Can we talk about Klay Thompson for a damn second?
I am hot taking with Stephen A. Smith for a second. You just calm down. So here it is. So Steph,
memory lane, man.
Steph has been on fire. Has a bad game five. No problem. They won the game anyway. Right. He wouldn't be here without him.
Right.
But here's what I am saying, Stephen A. Yeah. If they lose in Boston, and they come back to go to San Francisco, what cannot happen under any circumstances, I'm not trying to hear it, is Steph plays like he did, doesn't score a lot of, you know, doesn't get the points the team needs, and they lose a game 7 at home.
It's bad.
That's can't happen.
That's catastrophic. That I won't deny that that would be really, really bad for him. Not losing if he played like he struggled in game 5. But if you're talking about a Steph Curry that shows up like he did in game 4 and nobody shows up to help him,
I don't think
we're going to look at Steph Curry and be like, yo, man, you didn't get it done. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he show up and drop it 40 or 50 and all of a sudden it's Wiggins who wets the bed or it's Clay or it's Jordan Poole or somebody, then I don't think that we're going to look at Steph and frown upon his performance in the NBA Finals, but particularly after Game 4. If you go 0-for-9 shooting and struggle the way that you did in Game 5 and then you follow up with identical performance in Game 6 and 7, that would be catastrophic, but there's no way in hell I think that's happening. I don't think that's happening.
He said the same thing I said, though, Max. If you can't – if he loses – but he plays well, it's everything else.
Yep.
He can't
Or
lose.
If he doesn't play well, but they win, it's okay.
He can't play poorly and they lose because everybody will say he's the reason why.
Max, are you done?
Yeah.
I got something personal. How dare you come on my show? How dare you, after the embarrassment you put me through, telling the world that you were going to bust my ass in a one in a two on two match.
Don't misrepresent my position. I give a damn about game 6.
Can I bring it up?
Yeah, bring it up, please.
You're lying.
Here's what I said, Max, Keyshawn. This is Jay Williams here. I know my position. I ain't no damn NBA player. I was never good enough. Couldn't shine your shoes. I get all of that. This brother said I wouldn't score one basket.
one basket.
One-on-one?
Or two-on-two.
Two-on-two. J.J. Redick and I against him and the partner.
And what I said was, I said, you gonna win, and you better, but I said, I'm going to have moments where I'm going to bust your ass. And I mean it.
I personally like you, Stephen A. You my guy through and through.
I know. I'm not going to score a basket?
No.
A basket?
No.
No, no, that's you.
No. I was out of shape, and I did score. But here's what I would say.
Yeah, oh, yeah, but that's against Bart Scott and Allen.
It don't matter. No, but that's no. Here's what I'm going to say before we get back to this. These finals.
Yeah.
He's an NBA player.
I understand.
When he steps on the court,
I understand.
He can take whatever he wants away from you.
I agree.
At any moment he chooses to do so.
I'm going to take his candy.
Okay. I watched him personally. Mm-hmm. God be my witness in right hand.
Why are you pursing your lips?
No, listen to me.
Why are you pursing your lips?
Oh, you're going down to Duke? You talking about Duke now?
Let me tell you something, man.
This is crazy. Stephen A., have you seen this video? Listen.
I love professional athletes. But when I walked into that Duke Arena, Cameron Indoor, and I watched this fool pick up the basketball, the world was different for him when he stepped on that hardwood.
I understand.
Okay, I'm just telling you, you may not want to bark up that tree.
May I respond?
I'm just telling you.
May I respond?
I'm putting all my money on Jay.
May I respond? I specifically said him, J.J. Redick, who just walked the studios behind us, I specifically said these are NBA players. I would never, ever disrespect anybody into thinking I even come close to comparing to them. I'm not saying that.
You're not getting a bucket.
Let me finish. They said, I won't score one basket.
No, one basket. I'm telling you, you won't.
You will not.
Okay. And they both are washed up, and you can't do anything with them.
I don't know if I would call JJ.
Well, not washed up, but retired. You know what I mean?
Right. JJ, Keyshawn just called you washed up.
Nah, I don't know, not washed up, retired.
You know, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter whether
it's now 6 months, 10 months from now, whatever.
Wait, I have to bring in my two-on-two partner here.
JJ,
JJ Redick's coming.
JJ does have a podcast, The Old Man and the Three.
Did you really say I'm washed up?
Washed up, but retired. I meant to say retired.
JJ, who's the?
I have a tear in my Achilles tendon. I have an overgrown heel bone. I can barely walk, man. Yeah, I'm washed up. Not as a player, not as a skill. I'll give you buckets right now.
Not me, him. I ain't challenging you. That's Stephen A. with that nonsense.
We're back on this, Stephen A.
No, he brought it up. I didn't know.
You're damn right. I brought it up. It's my show.
I came here to talk about the NBA Finals, and this girl brought it up. But I'm gonna say it again. I don't give a damn who it is.
It's not going to happen,
man. I'm going to score one basket.
No, you're not.
One basket? That's all.
You're not.
Okay?
I am not known as a defender. I never was. I'm going to clamp you. I'm going to lock you up. You are not scoring.
I promise you, you won't.
JJ, in The Old Man and the Three, who's the old man? Are you the old man?
Wait, it's going to a completely different level, Stephen A. I love JJ.
I got nothing to say. I got nothing to say.
Why are you holding the arm though?
I'll be there. I made no excuses. Okay, they know I gotta have shoulder surgery and all that stuff. I'll be there.
We're
gonna talk about it now. Stephen they told
A.
me a year from now.
Stephen, this time
next year, that's what's gonna happen. It's not a problem. I'm not saying anything. But I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna repeat myself again. I'm gonna have my mom. I'm gonna go check.
Stephen A. Tell them why you have to have arm surgery. Why do you have to have shoulder surgery?
Because he's carrying that suitcase full of money all the time.
Wait, wasn't it shadow boxing? Wasn't it shadow boxing?
Oh, hell no, Max. Hell no. Not anymore. I improved my skills.
You say, what's wrong with his arm? He's carrying that suitcase full of money all the time.
I'm
working on it, though. I'm working on it. But that's all right. I got it. I'm not going to score a basket. You remember this moment?
I do. Okay.
Remember this moment.
So look,
you remember
man,
it, too.
I'm going to remember.
Let me ask him about my whole Steve Kerr take. If Steve Kerr wins a championship, he wins his fourth, right? 6 NBA finals in 8 years. I built out tiers for the greatest coaches of all time. He would be at number 5, in my opinion.
Who would be Phil Jackson,
Red Auerbach, Pat Riley, Greg Popovich, and then Steve Kerr. Is that wrong?
So you put
I don't think so. I don't think so. See, but are we talking about just championships? I mean, the fact of the matter is Larry Brown was one of the great coaches. Chuck Daly.
I had him in my third tier. I had Chuck Daly in my third tier.
Casey Jones.
I mean, listen, there were some phenomenal coaches in NBA history. But again, with the number of rings and the number of championship appearances,
I don't have any problem with Steve Kerr top five.
See, when we talk about, oh, we're just counting rings. Yeah, because in the end, the details of history get a little lost and people count rings.
And not
just
that, when you look at what's required of you to do it as a coach, it's not like you just throw the same guys out. It's not like you don't make adjustments or anything like that. Steve Kerr has shown his brilliance as a coach. And I think in this series.
This year this alone, series,
agreed. He has shown it as well.
Yep.
But okay, I also don't want to be remiss to how difficult it must have been. And you and I both know this. Going through the ups and downs of having the greatest player potentially in the game, Kevin Durant, on his team with Draymond, with Steph, all the stuff, the ancillary stuff, that came along with that. That's a lot to manage, too.
Right.
Deserves some credit.
Absolutely, without question.
We also were debating, because Jay has Phil Jackson and Red Auerbach first tier.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Riley, Greg Popovich next tier.
Mm-hmm.
But Key and I were pointing out various things, including Pat Riley went to three different organizations.
Right.
Knicks came a shot away from winning the chip. Lakers won four. Miami won one. And then it's really a Pat Riley team with Spoelstra as his disciple winning championships. Shouldn't Pat Riley be in the first tier? Or no?
Without question. Mm. I thought that was understood. When you say first tier, what are you talking about? Top two, top three?
Well, he just has buckets like he does.
Tier one, tier two, tier three. I had tier one, Phil Jackson,
and Red Auerbach.
It was an oversight on his part. It was just oversight on Jay's.
Is it because I have Phil Jackson as number one, number two?
Pat Riley is clearly tier one because
it was just oversight.
Here's
the
thing.
Okay.
You got to remember, Magic wins a championship. Then Magic gets Paul Westhead up out of there because he's a problem, right?
Yeah.
Pat Riley comes in there, and it's not just about winning. It's establishing a culture.
Yeah.
He comes to the New York Knicks. Don't get me started with how awful they were.
Hadn't been in the finals in decades.
And this guy changed the culture of the New York Knicks that lasted a decade. Even after he was gone, Jeff Van Gundy fed off that culture that he established, and he took him to the finals in a lockout shortened season against San Antonio. So we got to remember that. Then he goes to Miami, and even though he was losing to the Knicks at that time, ultimately he brings in Stan Van Gundy, okay? Stan Van Gundy gets you to a conference finals. But then the team was complaining. Pat Riley gets rid of him. Pat Riley takes over himself and leads them to the title, obviously riding the coattails of Dwayne Wade, no doubt, who was averaging 37 over the last four games in that series. And they win the championship, and then he establishes this culture in Miami. Mm-hmm. Phil Jackson, yes, he did it. What he did what he did in Chicago. And then Shaq and Kobe never won until he arrived.
Yeah.
Can't take that away. And you can't take away from the fact that, you know, again, there was a culture that he established to some degree. But I think Pat Riley has to be first tier because Pat Riley established culture
wherever he goes, he turns the minimum into a powerhouse, but usually a championship. It travels.
Can you stick around for the next segment?
Yeah. Yeah. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Stephen A. Smith back with us in a matter of moments.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
So we were supposed to have Dan Orlovsky on today, but the cell phone tower in his neighborhood, apparently, there was something wrong. It went down.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get in touch.
Bad neighborhood.
You know, I have to confess. You know, that annoys me. You got certain neighbors, I mean, affluent neighbors.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They, you know, they always the ones that got problems with the cell phones.
Out in the Hamptons, I got no reception. When I'm in the Hamptons, I got no reception.
What's going on with that?
Yeah, but they get it fixed real quick. We were talking. The reason this even came up is because we were talking about in California and wildfires and things of that nature. In certain neighborhoods, where like where I live at.
Where the mountain lions roam in your backyard.
Key, you
those places.
If the cell phone tower goes down where I live at, it's going to last 2 minutes. They're going to make sure to put it back up like that.
The Kardashians would go crazy if the cell phone tower went up.
That's those people out there. The fires, you know, you see the fires and stuff like that. They set up a certain perimeter to make sure that they're going there to put out the fire first.
Right.
They don't care about South Central LA. No. They burn it down to the ground.
Watts is burning, but Calabasas, the fire knows better.
Absolutely. It is wild, though, when it goes out, though, if you lose internet service, people almost don't know what the hell to do. It's like there's been a death in the family or something.
That's true.
You can't, I can't get emails. I can't make calls.
Phones, and then, you know, I had Keyshawn ruined it for me. I once had, you know, a dream of living out there. And then Keyshawn showed me the mountain lion roaming in his backyard like it was a cat. Like, it was just a regular old cat, just chilling. No, I'm like, what's that?
That's
I'm not going out there.
That's west of the 405. You got to get east of the 405, no mountain lions.
But Max told me about Bel Air.
Yeah, but I didn't show you the latest video, Stephen A., where the coyote went through the doggy door of the people's home.
See,
and was in the house.
Mm-hmm. I can't deal with that.
Who the hell has a doggy door?
That's not me. I can't deal with
dog,
that.
The dog, you gotta let the dog out when you're not home. It just
open
goes out
the door,
side.
Man.
Open
I ain't doing a doggy door for the dog.
See, that's a problem for me. That's a
doggy door.
That's just goes.
I lived in Bel Air. There was a rattlesnake. There was a rabid skunk.
Nothing.
Yeah, but in New York, you don't deal with rattlesnakes.
I thought you were
going
to tell us a story about how you live next to Elon Musk.
Well, that's part of it. Well, I will tell you, Bel Air is quite nice.
That's for the Stephen A's of the world.
I don't live there. Yeah.
Actors, entertainers.
It's not like that.
Don't try to bring me into this.
Do you not own property in Bel Air? You know, he's the CEO of a major corporation, Jay.
Man, leave me alone. I'm out here being low key, just doing my job.
Chill.
Let me do my job.
Wildlife won't do anything to you, Stephen A. You just leave it alone. The coyotes,
you know
the mountain
lions. I am going to leave it alone. I'm not going anywhere near that wildlife.
Keep believing that. It's going to leave you alone.
It won't bother you.
Man, my definition of wildlife is the New York subways.
I stepped in my backyard. I got charged by a rabid skunk, Keith.
Them damn rats on the track. Looking at you like, what you looking at?
Splinter on the
looking at you like, what you rats looking at you like, what you looking at?
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Stephen A. Smith with us.
Stephen A., they said that Key looks like Denzel Washington. I said, it's more like Larry Johnson. Yeah, Grandmama, put a part down the middle of his head. Mm-hmm. Put a little small gap. I'm telling you, Grandmama. That's true.
I wouldn't say Grandmama, but he does. You don't look like a little bit like Larry Johnson when he was with the Knicks.
Yes, I'm saying.
Yeah.
See?
I ain't even going to say nothing.
Why are you getting mad? This man told me that I have a nose that is pre-surgery Michael Jackson. That's what this man said to me on national damn TV.
I'll be damned if I'm going to talk about somebody's nose. It's not me.
It's me before off the wall. But before off the wall even, right? Like, we're going way back on MJ.
1977 Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
For sure.
Pre-off the wall, let alone Thriller.
I'll take the original nose. As long as you didn't give me the post-surgery,
no,
I'm cool with
that. Yeah, that's a good point.
I only have one thing to say about that. Don't judge me. I'll leave it at that. That's Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson.
J.J. Redick, who made a guest appearance 10 minutes ago on this show, said the following on a fantastic new show, still new, it's under a year, Key. This just in, handsome host, ESPN NBA analyst J.J. Redick said the following about Jason Tatum's struggles in the finals, Stephen A.
This is about the Warriors' defense. You have to give them a lot of credit. And I also don't buy the narrative that he's been awful this series. Like, he's averaging 23, 7, and 7. His two-point shooting is awful. He's shooting 48, from the three. There's four guys in NBA history who've averaged 23, 7, and 7 in their first finals appearance. And he's 24 years old. Like, I'm not saying he gets a pass for not being able to make a two-point shot consistently, but he has done a lot of good things on the basketball court. The real struggle for him, Max, has been in the fourth quarter.
So, Stephen A., his point production has gone down each series in the fourth quarter to a low right now in 3.5 points per fourth quarter. And my thing, I just don't understand why Ime Udoka, they don't get him in more action, like pin downs, curls, try to get the easy buckets instead of him being isolated. Because when you talk about him missing shots in the fourth, this man has played 200 more minutes than anybody else in the entire playoffs. The second most minutes per playoffs is Klay Thompson, 200 minutes less.
Here's the deal. These are the kind of things that happen when you don't have a true point guard. Mm. When you don't have a true floor general. an extension of the coach, somebody to calm things down, dictate and control pace, make sure that everybody's in their spots and prepared to do their job and maximize whatever potential that they may have. This is what we talk about when we talk about a point guard. Because we've seen the greatness of Steph Curry and various others, you almost forget what a true point guard is supposed to be. You know, you've got scoring point guards. You were one of those. We get all of that. But when you talk about the quintessential point guard, you're talking about a floor general that knows how to maximize your potential while you're on the floor with them. No, you ain't getting the ball here. You're getting the ball here because you got a better chance of making a shot here. No, we're going to put you in pin down situations. No, you're going to fly out to the perimeter. You're not going to be in ISO situations because you tend to turn the ball over, Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. We're going to avoid doing that for you. So when I give it to you, all you got to do is shoot the damn rock. That's what true point guards know how to do. And the Boston Celtics do not have that. We get caught up in the fact that they're an elite defensive team. We look at Marcus Smart as the reigning defensive player of the year. We know how gutsy he is. We know what a pit bull he is. We know he's willing to get in guys' face, including his own teammates. But we keep forgetting the fact they do not have a quintessential point guard. That is the problem for the Boston Celtics.
But that's why I said the system is important. Like the system for the Lakers, they didn't have a point guard, but they ran the triangle. So the system and the continuity of how fluid you make the offense matters to this team more.
But, yeah, but that would work if Phil Jackson was coaching them. But Udoka doesn't coach. Udoka's the coach of this team. And he don't run the triangle like that. So that's not what's going
to
happen.
So what happens to Tatum? Let's assume that they lose tomorrow. They lose tomorrow and he doesn't play as well as most people think he should be playing. What happens to that narrative in the offseason? He's gone to many finals, Eastern Conference finals. Now he's in the NBA final, but he didn't play his best. He's young enough to continue to have a good career, but he didn't close out. He's at the door to get through the rope, but the door slammed on him.
The brother's 24, 25 years old.
A lot of time.
He's got nothing but time. And for him to be that young and to be in four conference finals and now in NBA finals, you just can't say enough about him in terms of his potential, his promise, or what have you. You're going to look at him and you're going to hold it against him from the standpoint, okay, are you going to get back to the finals in the future? And when you get back there, what you're going to do? But it's not like you're going to excoriate the kid and you're going to be like, hey, man, you had your moment and you blew it. No, you're going up against Steph Curry and the crew. And the fact of the matter is that you had a lot to learn. It's your first time in that finals. You're the face of the franchise, and it was a lot to put on you, and you simply wasn't as ready as you should have been.
So how much of it is – I talked to J.J. Redick about this yesterday, and he seemed to say it was age also. Young, he's playing a great defense, by the way. Everyone's talking about the Celtics. The Warriors play defense. And you get into the X's and O's and the youth and the great defense and all. But he said it wasn't stage. It was age, not stage. How much of it is you're playing in the finals?
Well,
it's the fourth quarter.
I think it's more stage than age because when you look at the age from a standpoint of his age, he's had enough postseason experience, even though this is his first finals experience. What you see, my biggest problem that I've seen with Jason Tatum is Jason Tatum ain't just balling. He's looking for calls almost every play.
Yeah.
Okay, and a lot of times that is the stage because you're looking for help instead of just going out there and balling. Now, why all of a sudden when you dropped 46 in a game 6 in Milwaukee with your back against the wall, okay? You showed up and showed out in game 7 as well, along with a couple of other games against the Miami Heat. You beat them in Miami 3 times. Why, now that you got to the finals, is it this way? It's because it's the finals.
Stage.
And I'm looking at the stage, and I'm looking at the fact you are looking at the officials for help damn near every play you have the ball. That's not how you win championship basketball.
This is the problem I used to have with James Harden in the playoffs. At a certain point, hit the shot. If you get the call, great. And you're looking to get bailed out, Jay, right?
Yeah. Like, isn't that what's going on? I talked about him extending his hands, going into that whole James Harden thing, looking at the ref, complaining. Just lose yourself in the damn game and play ball.
And he's got the kind of skills to do it. But I will tell you, they're switching. I mean, Golden State is switching all over the place. They've got somebody at everybody's face. Now, they've really amped up their defense since game one. You got to give credit where credit is due in that regard. And there's always – I mean, they reach a lot. Wow. I mean, you put the ball on the floor against the Golden State Warriors, chances are you're going to turn the ball over.
It will be interesting if they keep targeting Steph, though. That takes away his legs, especially with the way they're defending him now differently.
Switch that bag to the other arm, man. That way you don't have to have surgery, you know. All that money you holding on.
Marini is coming up next on ESPN Radio.
I don't have a crib in Calabasas.
With Stephen A. is coming up in moments on ESPN.
Or Bel Air. Or Alpine.
Hey, don't say Alpine.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max back tomorrow, 6 a.m.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.